Yeah.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Let's get ready to worship this morning. If you'll stand with me. I'm excited. I was just saying, I've had like a really good week this week, and I'm happy today. And we're doing a new series, if you can't tell, because the screen all looks different now. We're going to be doing a series on our salvation and what that means, and kind of like talking about that, talking about the gospel. We're doing that for the next 3 weeks, and I'm really excited to get into all of this with you guys this week. But I want to make sure that we spend time in worship today. Could you do that with me today? Can we worship together today and really come into the presence of God today? Let's pray. Lord God, I pray for the service today. I pray for everyone in this room that they'll find themselves approaching you and your presence today. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Redemption, one confession, I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe in the crucifixion, by his blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection, hallelujah, he died his death to God the Father, all praise to Christ the Son, all praise to the Holy Spirit, our God has overcome. Our kingdom was and is and evermore will be. Of heaven, he's preparing a place for me. Fly beyond what hearts imagine, ears have heard or eyes have seen. I believe that day is coming, he's returning to claim his bride. Fly beyond what he's been burning, Jesus Christ, I will never walk away from the one who saved my life. No, I'll never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will never walk away from the one who saved my life. No, I'll never be ashamed. Overcome.
moment. You have brought me to such a freedom. I have found in you your healer, who makes all things new. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going back, moving ahead. To declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. Moving, moving forward. You have raised me.
A child of God, yes, sir.
Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm a child
yes,
of God.
I am.
Oh, yes, I am.
Thank you.
enter into the rest of this service today, God, I pray that we would be able to stay in your presence. Lord, that we can come to know you more and to be with you, Jesus, in all your glory. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Take a couple minutes and say hi to a couple people.
Sunday morning, preacher said, life's a mist, it's just a breath. We're only here for a little while. He talked about his daddy's grave. It read 1910 to 98, but the years between were just a little line. Got me wondering what I'm chasing. Don't want another minute wasted. There's a day we're born, day we pass. In between is just a dash. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing? Yeah, I got time, but time goes fast. Yeah, that line's all I have. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing? I could take this life and live it well. I could keep on living it for myself. What's it gonna say when it calls me up? Was I just words or was I love? Did I love great or just good enough? I just hope he says well done. I keep on wondering what I'm chasing. Don't want another minute wasted. There's a day we're born, day we pass. In between there's just a dash. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing? Yeah, I got time, but time goes fast. Yeah, that line's all I have. What on earth am I doing? Hey. What on earth am I doing? Hey.
Cause real life's in the trenches, not from the stands and our lofty benches with manicured hands. I wanna dash as dirty, a life fully spent, weathered and scarred from all the life that I lived. The times that we go out of our way to paint beautiful blue over somebody's grave. When we stopped and defended injustice, or sanded the heart of a friend that got rusted. I don't know my number or year that'll pass. From this cold world to the kingdom that lasts, but carpe diem, it's worth it to live it, not blur it. Or years could fly by and you still ain't met purpose.
There's a day we're born, day we pass. In between there's just a dash. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing? Yeah, I got time, but time goes fast. Yeah, that line's all I have. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing?
What on earth am I doing? Life's short, but a vapor. What you gonna do? What you gonna do with yours?
The nail's pointing this way.
Nope, we're going that way.
Wait for me, guys.
Breaker Rock Beach.
Among the shifting sands of Breaker Rock Beach, there's a rock that stands the test of time.
Breaker Rock Beach.
Kids will learn to look past the half-truths of the world to see the rock-solid truth of God's Word.
There is a rock where we can build our lives. His name is Jesus Christ, and we will not be shaken at Breaker Rock Beach.
Can build our lives. His name is Jesus.
Don't miss Lifeway's 2024 VBS, Breaker Rock Beach.
That's right, Breaker Rock Beach is coming. So I think in June we should start doing that song for worship. What do you think? Yeah. I don't even know. I've not heard the whole song. There's motions and everything. Are you guys up to doing motions? Are we a church that we are ready to do motions? Na 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 na. They're going back to kids' church in their own brains. Every move I make, not every step. Every step comes in the next part of the chorus. No, it's the verse. Anyway, Breaker Rock Beach is happening July 8th through 12th, 9 a.m. to noon at the Bear's Den for all upcoming kindergarten through sixth graders. Well, that means the ones that are coming into kindergarten next school year. Know anyone like that? Them's too? You can come. And guess how much it costs? Zero. Except if you want to come to the Wonders of Wildlife field trip on Friday, it's $25 per kid. That's a firm $25. What's that? Okay. We got to work that out. If they have, there's still food and stuff, right? Did you guys work out if we're doing food? I know we have to pay for gas. Anyway, we'll figure it out. We'll let you know. All right, so cool. If you're interested, go to life360.org/Conway, and you can sign up right on there, or you can just scan that QR code. We are looking to fill the Bear's Den with kids for Breaker Rock Beach. I'm excited. Super stoked. So we're going to be getting – we got some new signs up over at the Bear's Den, if you didn't see, because we have summer – after summer school program. Yeah, try saying that 10 times fast. It's summer school after school. That's what it is. Summer school after school. That's what we called it. Summer school after school. So instead of after school program. So it's like after summer school program. Yeah. Did I call it that? I can't drive by the sign and see what I called it. Anyway, it's on the flags. And then we have summer camps that are happening. The information was on the back table, but I think they've all disappeared, so I'm going to have to produce some more. No, you didn't. They actually all ended up at Crazy from Scratch, which is an amazing place. So I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that from the pulpit, but hey, I'm going to say it. They're an amazing place. You should go there sometime. They're supporting us, so I'm going to support them. I don't think it's copyright, but I like them. I'm endorsing them. How about that? I don't even know if I'm allowed to endorse anything from the pulpit. I'm going to get in trouble, and I'm bunny trailing like crazy. My wife's about to throw something at me. If you see a pin get chucked up here, we know it all came from Leah. All right. Youth. Yeah. Youth. There's only two of you here today. We have scholarships available, which means you don't have to pay to go. We've already had money come in as scholarships for students. So money is not an object when it comes to youth camp. There's no reason whatsoever that you can't go unless you don't want to.
What's the ages for youth?
Youth camp is upcoming 6th grade to upcoming 12th grade. So if you're going into 6th grade or anywhere in between all the way up through senior year, you can go to youth camp. In fact, I think they even let... No, they don't. They don't let graduating ones go. So they're moving on in life. Sorry, y'all. But yeah, I'm inviting everyone to go that I see. Come to camp. Come to camp. Come to camp. I got to work. Take time off. Oh, I can't. This is more important than work. Come on, y'all. So come to camp. It's going to be awesome. Anyway. Yep. I'm telling you all this because we've got to get this all nailed down before May 12th. Because I'll get into that in a second. All right. Sunday, 7 p.m. is Warriors at the Well. I don't believe, are you meeting tonight? They are still meeting tonight. Okay, cool. Marlena is not feeling well today, so she's not here this morning, but I guess they're still meeting for Wins Group, so that's cool. Divorce care happening Monday nights at 6:30 right here. Soap journals, they are on their way. They haven't quite made it here yet, and I apologize. Sorry. All right. Now, I mentioned May 12th and May 19th. We are going to have some guest speakers coming in, and I am finalizing who the speaker is on the 12th. May 12th is Mother's Day, and May 19th is the week after, obviously. Pastor Bill Hennessy, who was here a couple weeks ago, he is the pastor of Life 360 All Nations in Springfield. He's going to be here on May 19th giving the word, and he's going to do an amazing job. And he's going to be backed up by an awesome team of folks that are going to help out, make sure everything runs smoothly for church. Right? Right? Yep. So, but yeah, why are we having guest speakers come in? Leah and I are leaving for 2 weeks, for a week and a half, really. My wife and I have achieved an amazing milestone. She has put up with me for 20 years. I know, it's amazing. So we are going to go and celebrate our 20th anniversary in Alaska. And I love all of you. And I'm going to set you guys up for success. And you guys are going to have an amazing church service. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I know Pastor Bill is going to bring a great word. And TBD, his word is going to be awesome. Actually, I don't know exactly who it is. Pastor Tom who's our on our executive leadership team. He's nailing down that person today, he tells me. So hopefully next week I'll have a name for you. But yeah, I'm real excited to be spending some time with my wife. I know it's unorthodox for a pastor to be gone for 2 weeks, but I've been married for 20 years. I really want to celebrate this, and I'm hoping you guys will support us in that and really just extend grace and love to the guys that are coming to preach in my place. And I love the fact that we have an organization that steps up and helps us and helps support the ministers so that we can have time to go and spend with our loved ones. So it's pretty awesome. All right. But when I get back, we're going to be starting something kind of interesting. We're going to be doing a series on the book of Daniel. I like doing book series. This has been something that we've kind of done since just before the beginning of this year. We did the book of Judges, and we've done the book Titus. And you know, I was praying, and I'm like, God, where should we go from now? And I said, you know, God, I just really want to know where are you leading us. And I really felt the Spirit tell me that Daniel's where we're supposed to go next. I had a very interesting thing happen. Let me describe some things that happened. I actually have a calendar, and I write down what I'm going to be doing and when I'm going to be doing it and all the different messages and things like that. And I actually wrote up what I was going to be doing leading up to Easter, and then the Titus series was supposed to be what we were in right now. We were supposed to be doing the Titus series all the way through until Leah and I were going to leave for our vacation. And yes, my kids are staying, by the way, and their aunt's going to be taking care of them. So don't worry about my kids; they'll be fine. But it's just Leah and I that are leaving. But the thing is that I'd had this whole mini series set up prior to Easter to kind of lead us into Easter, and I don't know what happened. We started Titus instead. And I don't know if it's because my brain got messed up, because sometimes that happens, or whatever it was, but it's amazing that stuff happened through Titus in that time that lined up exactly where it needed to be. And so God is really directing that movement. And what's happened is that whole mini-series thing that I had planned out prior to Easter, I never felt a lot of peace about it. And so what has really been amazing is how God interrupted me and change the plans and change the service order and change the series and everything. So I'm really excited about going into Daniel. I'm really excited about the guys that are going to be coming in and doing their guest speaking, that they are free to be able to preach on whatever God is laying on their heart, because I believe it's going to be for this church. And in the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about something that I believe is very, very important. And I'll get into that in just a minute. But I want to tell you, I'm excited for Daniel. There's a lot of very interesting parts in Daniel. And I think we're all going to learn something in here. So if you do want to follow along in the service, I suggest you pull up the Faith Life Study Bible app. You can follow along with the slides there. Kids, you are free to go. All right. All right. I need a tithes and offerings person. Can you help me? Yeah, Elizabeth. On top of my printer. So we're going to go ahead and collect up our tithes and offerings this morning. There's a QR code up on the screen if you're interested in scanning that and giving online. It is actually I've found that it is one of the best ways to give, is to give online, because you don't have the chance to forget. And I have a tendency to forget things sometimes. And I like it when tools have been made to help me be obedient to the Lord. But, you know, some people like physically writing that check. You know, this is their worship. And I believe in that. I think it's an amazing thing. Wow, that was almost the Bozo grand prize game right there. Yes, I grew up on Bozo the Clown. Did anyone else watch Bozo and the Grand Prize game? It was WGN, but every morning before I got on the bus, I had to watch Bozo the Clown. I'm going to show it to my daughter because she's scared of clowns. This daughter. Well, Lord, thank you so much for the continued giving hearts of the people of this church who are faithful to you, Lord God. We thank you so much that you've given to us, and we are able to give back what you have commanded. And we thank you, Lord, for the continued ministry of this church and everything that you've ordained us to do. In your name, amen. All right. Well, you guys want an update of what's going on? Sure, it's been a little while, hasn't it? I haven't updated in a little while. So I'm gearing up for vacation, of course, which I'm very excited about, obviously. And that's where my brain's been at. I've been very busy with, I've started a new program about 5 weeks ago. I started a new program with Liberty University where I'm learning how to become a counselor. So my goal is to help use what I'm learning in developing mental health services within the community. Last week we talked about life, the 360 ministry, and my vision for that is like this. The reality is that this is just one right here, right now. You in the seats, you listening online to the service. This is one aspect of your life. This is your spirit. This is the part of your life that connects with God. This is the part that helps you to understand more about Him. And that's good. That's a very, very important part of your life. But another part of your life is your mind and your emotions. And while those are definitely affected and changed by the Spirit of God, absolutely, there is definitely an epidemic in our community of mental health issues. And we, as a church, need to become a location where people can turn to find healing and hope for that. And that is my goal with doing that program, is that I can be a part of that, that I can help bring in others so that they can also do that, and so we can develop that mental health care piece. But more than just the mind, we want to help people with food, we want to help people with clothes, we want to help people with bills if they're stuck. We want to help people heal from divorce and from addiction and pain. We want to help people in a holistic way. And I know that that's a buzzword, the holistic thing. We want to help people holistically. And all of that all points back to Jesus. But the reality is that people in this world don't care what you have to say unless they know that you care. And we want to be a church that shows people that we care. So we show up, we do stuff, we help in the community. We be a part of what our community is doing. We become a part of the DNA of this community. And that's our goal. So that's what's going on. That's why we're doing the after school program. That's why we're doing the after summer school program. Summer school program after school. Look at the sign, seriously. We're doing this. We're doing the day camps. We're doing all this stuff to try to fill in those gaps. And we're trying to have more connection with the folks in the community, because the more connection we can have with folks, the more opportunity we have to help them belong to something. And we want them to belong to Life 360. We want them to belong to what we're doing, in the hope that someday that they'll believe in Jesus Christ and then become a part of who we are, become a part of our DNA as well. So, right, Abby? Right, Elizabeth? Right, y'all? All right. Well, there it is, our mini-series. I'm going to call it a mini-series because all of my series tend to be weeks upon weeks upon weeks upon weeks upon weeks. This is our identity in Christ. And specifically, I'm going to be talking this throughout this series about... It's going to be all about a few different aspects of salvation. But really what I want to talk about is and get to is our testimony. The idea of where has God found us? What has God brought? What have we gone through to get to this point where we know Jesus is our Lord and Savior? What did we have to go through to get to that? And all the things that God has brought us out of. So we're going to be looking at three testimonies, essentially, or three stories of people. Two of them are going to be from Scripture, and one of them is actually going to be, I've asked someone, Shane, who was baptized this last week. He's working this morning. I've asked him to give his testimony, because I think that is, his testimony is something that is a good thing for us to hear. I think if I asked all y'all to come up and give your testimony, we could probably be like, this is where I was, and then God found me. So for instance, my story is simply this. I grew up in the church. There's absolutely no reason why I shouldn't have been a Christian, but I found myself making my own decisions for my own life the way I wanted to do it, and no one could tell me otherwise. I live by a simple rule. I can do anything I want as long as I don't get caught. Forgetting completely that God sees everything. Until one day God got a hold of me and he wouldn't let go. I committed my life to Christ. I was in some pretty deep, horrible stuff. And if it had not been for the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not only would I not be here talking to you today, they wouldn't be here at all. By the grace of God, you two exist. By the grace of God, I am here. I gave my life to Christ because he showed me how meaningless the rest of this stuff was. How pointless it all was. How empty it all was. So let me ask you a question today. And I'm not going to poll you all for all of your testimonies. If you want to someday, you can come talk to me, and I'd be more than willing to let you guys give your testimony. It's powerful. Your testimony is powerful. It doesn't matter where you come from. Your testimony is powerful. But let me ask you this question. Why did you give your heart to Jesus? In a nutshell. Because you were told to? Well, we'll talk about that. What's that? It's the only thing that brought change to your life. The only thing that brought peace. understanding? Why did you give your life to Christ? So let me ask you this question. Do you consider your salvation as a privilege? So a privilege is a special right, advantage, or immunity granted or available only to a particular person or group. Do you consider your salvation a privilege? Absolutely. That was for you. All right, that one was kind of easy, right? How do you convince others that your identity is in Christ? By showing them your fruit, right? Yeah. The fruit of your life. The word of your testimony, right? Dude, you wouldn't believe what God's brought me out of. And I'm still struggling with this, and this. But I'm saved, and God is taking these things away one at a time. Right? Today we're going to be talking about Simon the Sorcerer's identity. We're going to be Acts chapter 5, verse 25, if you want to join. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 to 25, if you want to join me there today. Simon the Sorcerer's identity. So this is our story. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intensely to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs that he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims. And many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. I'd say so, right? What a spectacle. Isn't that kind of like a spectacle that's happening? Have you ever experienced a service kind of like this or been around somewhere where stuff like this is happening? Like demons are being cast out and people are being healed left and right? You ever been to one or even seen something like that before? I have, I'll be honest with you. And I'll be honest, what's the number one doubt that pops into your head when you hear about stuff like this happening? Was it really true? What kind of magic trick are they doing? I remember back in the day, they would do these things where they would have piles of people throwing their cigarettes up onto the stage, and they just pile up. And you had another area where they would collect wheelchairs because people were being healed and they didn't need them anymore, or piles of crutches because people were getting healed and they didn't need them anymore. My pastor in Virginia said he was in Africa and they were praying over someone, and they had a condition where one of their legs was not as long as the other leg, and they were praying for them, and literally he saw the person's leg grow to match the other one. Tumors that have disappeared. And I was in Mexico. We were on a missions trip, and it was a service for all of us students because it was a teenager trip. There was a blind junior, high school junior. He was blind. They'd prayed for him, and he could see. The dude went to Mexico blind, came home, and finished out high school with vision. I mean, imagine. Imagine kids, girls, talking to you now. Imagine you're in school and one of the kids who's blind, and you know there's kids in your school that are blind. What if they came back to school on Monday and they could see? I'm just saying. That'd be quite the spectacle, wouldn't it? And you doubt these things, like, does that really happen? Isn't that a plant? Well, there's someone who had the same idea. A man named Simon had been a sorcerer there for many years, amazing the people of Samaria and claiming to be someone great. He's a magician. Everyone from the least to the greatest often spoke of him as the Great One, the power of God. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had astounded them with his magic. But now the people believe Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed and was baptized. He began following Philip wherever he went, and he was amazed by the signs and the great miracles Philip performed. We just had a baptism service last week. What does baptism represent? The death of your old self and the rebirth in Jesus Christ, right? You've recommitted your life. You've committed your life to Christ, and you're showing that to everyone. Simon, the sorcerer, was baptized. A public display of him giving his life to Christ. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard about the people of Samaria, that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers and to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, baptized in water. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon the believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. "Let me have this power too," he exclaimed. "So when I lay my hands on people, they'll receive the Holy Spirit." And we think today, like, well, that's stupid. Well, this was all brand new. We didn't have the story of Simon the Sorcerer to really turn us away from this idea. I mean, sometimes if you just put a little seed money into the ministry, you'll get some gifts out of it, right? Ooh, sorry. I kind of went there, didn't I? Oh, I see that face. Because you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't work like that. But Simon doesn't know that. He's like, dude, you're putting your hands on people and praying for them, and then they can speak in other tongues, and they get the power of the Holy Spirit upon them. I want that. Now, what is wrong with that statement? No. That's not what's wrong with the statement. He wants to buy it. He did. He offered them money to buy this power. That ain't gonna work. He genuinely wants this, but here's the problem. Why? So that he can do it. So that he can be more popular. Peter replied, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts, for I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin." Let me get this straight. Before these two men showed up, for weeks probably, days at least, Simon, known as the sorcerer, had committed his life to Christ by mouth and had been baptized in water. He had done every prescriptive thing right. And Peter says straight to him, "You have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts." Because his thoughts were wrong. And then it goes further. Simon says this, "Pray to the Lord for me." Simon exclaimed, "That these terrible things you've said won't happen to me." After testifying and preaching the word of the Lord in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, and they stopped in many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the good news. Pray to the Lord for me. You want to know how to spot someone who's not really committed to God? Find the person that's not going to pray for themselves and expects you to do it for them. I'm a pastor. I have absolutely no problem praying for people. I love praying for people. I love adding people to my prayer list. And I will do it all the time. But if your heart's not right and you're not praying, I don't have magic beans or some magic like spells or anything. I can't just like throw something up and hope that it happens. Church, you've got to have a right heart. You got to have a heart to receive. Be praying for my son because of X, Y, because he's dealing with drugs. Not my son, I'm just saying. Like someone would come up, be praying for my son because he's dealing with drugs. I'll pray. But believer in Jesus, what are you going to do? My job as a pastor is to encourage you, to push you, to share the word of God with you, and to present truth to you. Simon the sorcerer is just saying, hey, do this for me. He wants other people to do his faith for him, and he wants to buy power from God. I don't care how much money you put in the offering. It doesn't get you more power from God when you do that. Will your life be blessed? Yes. Will your finances be blessed? Yes. Because that's what the scripture says. But don't expect to curry special favor from God because you're being obedient. Think of it this way. When my kids do the dishes or they take out the trash, and I didn't have to tell them to do it, do I praise them for it? Good job. You actually did what you're supposed to do. Good job. No, I expect that. Just do it. I get mad when they don't do it. My son did an amazing thing this week. He did the dishes. My son is not required to do the dishes. He did it. And then he was doing other chores around the house. And yes, I praise him for it. Do you know why? Because he went above and beyond. We get praised for going above and beyond. I hope that was recorded. But see, the thing is that we want to be, we somehow expect God to give us an attaboy for doing the basics. We expect God to give us some special grant of power or whatever it is because we said some words or got wet. Where's your heart? I think too many people are so caught up in doing the right thing, and I'm all about do the next right thing. Don't get me wrong. But if your heart's not right and your heart's not in it and your heart's not going towards bringing glory to God and the kingdom of God, it's wrong. You're doing the right things wrong. It's dangerous when saying the right thing in the wrong way happens. We're dealing with that kind of stuff in the church all the time. In public. Samaritans were descendants of Jews, the northern kingdom, who had intermarried with foreign people. They weren't regarded as Gentiles by the Jews, but as part of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Their religion was based on the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, though their Pentateuch was different in a few places to the one that we're familiar with. They were awaiting a future deliverer to keep with the promise of Deuteronomy of 18:15-19 about the coming prophet like Moses. Philip builds on that hope when he presents Jesus. And it was bold because there were some bad feelings between the Jews and the Samaritans. They didn't like each other, and it was a racism. Ministering in the miraculous opened up the door for them to hear the gospel. It's hard to hate someone when you're healing them. The people listened to Philip because he was healing. This is what is called ministry in enemy territory. Ministering where the people hate you. Simon the sorcerer was a man of great influence where he was. He had a big following. He was amazed at all the miracles that were happening, and he wanted to be a part of that. He didn't want his limelight to be sucked up by the apostles. But this is an example of a time where the meaning of believe falls short of saving faith. Do you know who else believes that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior? Do you know? Satan. Satan knows that too. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. We've sung that song for a long time. But so does Satan. But he doesn't put his faith in Jesus. And he wants to keep you from having faith in Jesus too. The reality is that Simon is attracted by what is happening. He isn't interested in his own spirit. He wants power and privileges of being a believer. It's like someone who becomes a Christian because they like the discipline of it. Well, I live a very disciplined life because the Word of God says I can do this, that, and the other thing, and I can't do this, that, or the other thing. And so I'm living a very Christian life. But do you know Jesus? I'm thankful that I don't have as astounding of a turnaround story as so many people I've spoken with. I was blessed having grown up in the church, as many of our kids have. But at some point in time, you have to make your own decision for Jesus Christ. You have to make him Lord and Savior. You have to understand, it's not just about what God has brought you out of, it's what he's kept you from. What's all that stuff that he's kept you from since you've been saved? You've got these things in your heart that are tempting you and pulling you into a direction of evil. Imagine if God was not there to interfere. Simon the sorcerer sought God's power with any apparent interest in developing a relationship with God. He even asked Peter to pray for him, which is a pretty weak and inadequate request. Even Peter, the man who followed Jesus in person, the man who cut off an ear of a guard to protect Jesus, a person who Jesus looked at him and said, on this rock I will build my church. Peter, who Catholics regard as the first pope, even Peter can't pray this man into heaven. I can't pray people into heaven. You can't pray people into heaven. They have to make their own decision to follow Christ. They have to have their own decision to want to have a relationship with him. Simon wants freedom from punishment. He wants power rather than true freedom that comes from God. Not everyone who professes faith in Christ is a true believer in Jesus. And this is difficult because we're all sitting here listening right now. He isn't interested in our words or our deeds or anything like that. Are we interested in power and privileges? Are we interested in the I don't know. What is it that draws you to being a believer in Jesus? It should be God. Are you seeking out the power of God as you develop your relationship, or are you looking for power for the power's sake? Are you looking for freedom from punishment rather than true freedom from God? We're going to sing a song here in a second. Come on up, ladies. And it's an older song. Well, I say older, but it's 2007. But I want to, yeah, for Abby, it's old. I want to encourage you to stand and sing with us today as we sing this song. And examine your life while we do this. Examine where you are and what God has done in your life. And ask yourself, do I have a real relationship with Jesus? Is this something that is true, or am I doing this for my own gratification? If you'll stand with me.
Every victory the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. Say you're worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise.
God, I pray right now for everyone in this room. I pray for everyone that we would have not only a profession of faith in our life, but we would be able to show the evidence that we are saved. God, help us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt by what you have done, that you have saved us, God. Have us to know that of everything you've taken us from or kept us from proves the power that you have. Lord, help us to have interest in our spirit. Help us to care about coming closer to you. Not just for the things that come along with being a Christian or any of the privileges that come along with being saved, but Lord God, that we would have closeness to you. That our spirit would be connected to you, God. Lord, help us to develop in strength and power, but only because of the relationship we have with you. Have that power be an abundance of our relationship with you, an outpouring of your infilling of the Spirit, God. And in all of this, God, we thank you that those who know you, we've been saved. We are free. We're free not to do what we want, but we're free to have relationship with you. And our freedom comes from you, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would not be like the story of Simon the sorcerer, who went through all the motions, did everything that they were supposed to do, everything that's prescribed to be done, but completely missed the mark. Lord, I do hope that we see Simon in heaven and that he had turned his life around and became a disciple of you. But I pray for that for everyone within the sound of my voice. I pray that every single one of us, when we approach the throne of God, can hear the words, "Good job, good and faithful servant. I know you. Come on in." Lord Jesus, I pray for all of us as we go from this place today. God, that you will be with us and in our hearts. That you will be in our actions and in our words. We want to see people in our lives changed and moved into your direction, into relationship with you. And we know that it's completely up to them to make that decision. It's just our responsibility to tell the truth and to love them, to show them how much you love them. Have us grow closer to you. Because as we grow closer to you, we can bring them closer because we look more like you, God. We can be a good example for you. Lord, help us to walk out of here today with a renewed faith and a renewed hope and a new direction and purpose, God. I love you, Lord. In your name, amen. Folks, it's going to be an amazing week. And next week, we're going to be talking about Paul. So, God bless. Have an awesome week.